Daily Devotional Reading from the Treasury of Daily Prayer, the second Monday of Easter. The psalm is from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 22, verse 20 through chapter 23, verse 13. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a money lender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate. You should not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its mother. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be consecrated to me. Therefore you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked, and you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. You shall not oppress the sojourners. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and that the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. through 30. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. The writing is from Tertullian, his writing An Answer to the Jews. Why then did Moses, after the prohibition of any likeness of anything, set forth a bronze serpent placed on a tree in a hanging posture for a spectacle of healing to Israel during the time when, after their idolatry, they were suffering extermination by serpents? Was it not that in this case, he was exhibiting the Lord's cross on which the serpent, the devil, was made a show of, so that to everyone hurt by such snakes, by turning intently from the severity of their sin to the sacraments of Christ's cross, salvation was delivered? For whoever gazed upon the cross was freed from the bite of the serpents. Have you not read in the utterance of the prophet in the Psalms, "The Lord reigns from the tree"? Psalm 96:10, some Latin manuscripts. I wait to hear what you understand by this, and fear that you may perhaps think it means that some carpenter king is signified and not Christ, who has reigned from that time onward, when he overcame the death which resulted from his suffering on that tree. What worldly king wears the ensign of his power on his shoulders, but bears no diadem on his head, or scepter in his hand, or some other mark of distinctive vesture? The King of Ages, Christ Jesus, alone carried on his shoulder his own surpassing glory and power and magnificence, the cross, that according to the prophecy, the Lord himself reigns from the tree. The hymn verse today is from hymn 455, verse 3.
Fulfilled is all that David told in sure prophetic song of old, that God the nation's king should be and reign in triumph from the tree.
The reading from the Confessions is from the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord, paragraphs 42 through 47. This very opinion just stated is founded on the only firm, immovable, and undoubtable rock of truth. It comes from the words of institution. in the Holy Divine Word. This is how it is understood, taught, and spread by the holy evangelists and apostles and their disciples and hearers. Concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as our only teacher, this solemn command has been given from heaven to all people. Listen to him. He is not a mere man or angel, neither is he just true, wise, and mighty, but he is the eternal truth and wisdom itself and Almighty God. He knows very well what and how he is to speak. He can also powerfully affect and do everything that he says and promises. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Consider this true Almighty Lord, our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, after the Last Supper. He is just beginning his bitter suffering and death for our sin. In those sad last moments, with great consideration and solemnity, he institutes this most venerable sacrament. It was to be used until the end of the world with great reverence and obedience, humility. It was to be an abiding memorial of his bitter suffering and death and all his benefits. It was a sealing and confirmation of the New Testament, a consolation of all distressed hearts, and a firm bond of unity for Christians with Christ, their head, and with one another. In ordaining and instituting the Holy Supper, he spoke these words about the bread, which he blessed and gave. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And about the cup or wine, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." We are certainly duty-bound not to interpret and explain these words in a different way, for these are the words of the eternal, true, and almighty Son of God, our Lord, Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We cannot interpret them as allegorical, figurative turns of phrases in a way that seems agreeable to our reason. With simple faith and due obedience, we receive the words as they read, in their proper and plain sense. We do not allow ourselves to be diverted from Christ's express words by any objections or human contradictions spun from human reason, however appealing they may appear to reason. When Abraham heard God's word about offering his son, he had reason enough to debate whether the words should be understood literally, or with a tolerable and mild interpretation. They conflicted openly not only with all reason and with the divine and natural law, but also with the chief article of faith about the promised seed, Christ, who was to be born of Isaac. Nevertheless, when the promise of the blessed seed from Isaac was given to him, Abraham honored God's truthfulness. He confidently concluded and believed that what God promised he could also do, although it appeared impossible to his reason. So also about Isaac's sacrifice, he understood and believed God's word and command plainly and simply as they read according to the letter. He committed the matter to God's almighty power and wisdom, which he knew as many more modes and ways to fulfill the promise of the seed from Isaac that he could comprehend with his blind reason. We too are simply to believe with all humility and obedience our Creator and Redeemer's plain, firm, clear, solemn words and command without any doubt and dispute about how it agrees with our reason or is possible. For these words were spoken by that Lord who is infinite wisdom and truth itself. He can do and accomplish everything he promises. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son announced in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth that as the Messiah, his teaching and miracles demonstrated his presence in creation to release it from bondage and bring healing by making all things new. Give us faith to see that his teaching and miracles continue today in the healing medicine of your word and the sacraments, which put to flight the diseases of our souls. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.